Nahum chapter 1, and as the word is open before us, let us bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Gracious God, we thank Thee that Thy word is something that is alive in itself, because it is the word of Jesus Christ who became flesh. And we thank Thee, O God, that as the Spirit of God blows upon it, it causes it to revive within us. It causes us to revive in it. And Lord, we pray that this word might be a word in season, coming to us at the right time. And may it produce warmth. May it produce that affection, that growth in grace, growth in our love for the Savior, even as we come to remember Him around the table shortly. Lord, may it have that effect on us, that when we come to the table, we would be prepared, we would have right motives, we would have right attitude in taking part. Bless us, O God, we pray Thee, for we ask this in the Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now this morning, as you can see already, the table being prepared before us, we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper, or the communion of the Lord. It is the climax of our gathering together. And it is only for those people who have that personal attachment and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been born of the Spirit of God. And as we think on this, I want to direct your attention to verse 7 of Nahum chapter 1. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Nahum says that God is a refuge in our time of trouble. That is our message for this morning. And as you think about that, I want to ask you, do you remember the occasion of the exodus of the children of Israel? That the story of the exodus. Do you remember when the children of Israel, they had to flee, they came out of Egypt, and they were being chastened by the Egyptian army. And they arrived at the side of the sea, the Red Sea. And you remember how they were filled with fear, filled with confusion. There were the men, there were women, there were the children, there were the older people, the frail, the young, all together following Moses, being instructed by Moses. And now they reached at the edge of their journey and at the edge of the sea. But at that very point in their life, while the Egyptians were pursuing them, the Lord came between them. He brought that great wall of fire and the cloud. The scripture says that towards the Egyptians, it was like a cloud. It was dark for them. They couldn't see through this. But for the Israelites, it was like fire, bringing light to them, encouraging them that the warmth of God, the presence of God is with them. And that is how the Lord Jehovah, our God, has been throughout the ages. From the beginning, the Lord comes between His people and His enemies. And in this prophecy here of Nahum, it is a prophecy towards the wicked people of Nineveh. It begins at the burden of Nineveh. There was something serious. It was like a burden that would come upon them. And these people, they were adding sin to sin. He describes some of their sins, what they were doing. And in these words, God represents Himself in these words as being full of dread. He's a dreadful God. He is in a sense an awful God. We must be in awe of Him. We were thinking of that some time ago, about being in the presence of this awful God. listen to these words in verse 2. See what the Lord says about himself. He says, God is jealous towards the wicked. He says, like the cloud toward the Egyptians, he is one way, but towards his people is different. But towards the wicked, he says, God is jealous. And the Lord revengeth, the Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. And in verse 6, he says, who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. But then, in this prophecy, which is quite a gloomy prophecy, the Lord gives a message of mercy. He wants his people not to be too startled by these words. He wants them to know there is mercy with him. He wants them to know his own people are protected, and that those who trust in him are under his eye and his care. And so he describes, he says, but toward my people, but toward my own people, I show a different character. With my believing people, I am different. Toward them, he says in verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. And as the Lord's Supper is before us, and what we will be doing is a real demonstration that we are God's people, that we have taken refuge in his goodness. It's for people who have taken refuge in Jesus Christ. It's a mark of God's children. And it's a memorial of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in protecting us by his body that went on the cross, by his blood that was shed. This place of refuge has been prepared for us. And I want just for some time to think upon those words of verse 7. And the first thing is that first clause. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. God is good, he says. Jehovah is good. That is who God is. That is what God is. That is the character of God. That is God in his nature, in his perfection. God is good, he says. The Bible tells us this from the beginning of the Bible. It tells us God himself is good, and everything that he does, everything that he creates, it is good. When he created the whole world in 6 days, and at the end of it, it was as if the eye of the Lord went throughout all his creation. He surveyed everything, and could he find any fault in it? No. He said it is even very good. Everything, it is very good. And friends, over the course of the thousands of years of civilization, and with our own technology, with our advancements in every direction, in every field, nobody has found a way to improve on anything that God has created. You only study the creatures that God has made who live in the Arctic, and what, how they can walk and or fly or slide so easily. You study the penguin and see how it moves in such worse condition than we have today. We only have an inch of ice on our roads, but they have meters of ice there. But they can move thousands of miles in such a cold. But with our great technological advancement in a developed country, the country is at a standstill. We cannot improve, friends, upon God's creation. Because God's work is perfect. It is very good. But also, if you think about the way God leads, the way God has worked out everything, you think about your own life, you yourself individually, as a people, as a nation. Think about the history of your life and the history of the nation. How often we can look back and say, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. we have not been given what we deserve in our life. The Lord is gracious to us. Things could have turned out so far worse than what they are now. Things could have, if the Lord let us go in the way we wanted to go, the decisions that we had made, if the Lord didn't thwart it, if He didn't stop us, if He didn't bring to us certain individuals, you just think about certain points in your life and you look back and say, if I went down that way, I would have been in such a mess. My life would be ruined. My life of others would be ruined. And think about the things that have happened in your life that you look and say, oh, I wish they didn't happen. Friends, we can always look and say, all things, if the Lord's hand wasn't upon even that, it could be far, far worse. I could be in far, far worse state than I am now today. And so in this way, we can say in God's providence, His providential care, He has been good to us. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. We do not get what we deserve at all. God even thwarts the wicked. He sends the snow and the rain to the wicked as well as the righteous. He sends the sunshine to the wicked and the righteous. God has shown this general grace towards all who do not deserve it. The psalmist could see that. He says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because if He did, what is it? The wages of sin is death. Immediate death. As soon as we were born, we should have died because of our sin. As soon as Adam sinned, he should have physically as well as spiritually died. But the Lord was gracious. He let us live. He was merciful to us. Now we are thankful when we look back. Now we are thankful when we see things in the way God sees. Oh, how people can be so unthankful. How people can be so grudging against God and blaming God for all kinds of things. But they don't realize God has been preserving them, protecting them. Ezra, when he looked back and saw the children of Israel living in that state and outside of their own land and saw the sins that was the source of their misery, he says it is because of His mercies. Because of His mercy's sake that He did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. For He is a gracious and merciful God. So here Nahum, in the midst of all these very hard sayings and horrible, terrifying words of judgment, he says, the Lord is good. Remember that. Remember that. In all the situations, remember the Lord is good. But more than all that, when we think about it as God's people, the Lord is good in the way that He has planned and designed a way for sinners to be forgiven and to redeem us. You see, God's seeing us as like sheep, doing our own thing, going our own way, going astray. The scriptures are full of that. And we were singing this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord seeing us living in our sin, living in unbelief, living in superstition, living in false religion, living in the world, being so worldly, yet God has been good to us in a way that words aren't enough to explain. God planned in eternity to show His goodness to us by redeeming us and saving us and finding a way to forgive us our sins. And the plan was this, that He would send His only begotten Son. And that's what we are remembering. Him sending His own Son. He didn't have any other son. We were not His children in a spiritual sense. God in His mission of mercy sent His Son. And Christ came on a mission to buy us back. And He came with a price in His hand. Price so that He might buy us back. And what was it? The price was running in His own veins. His own blood was to be shed for us. That was the price that sinners might be saved. That was the price that our sins would be forgiven. Because as we have read, the Lord is jealous. The Lord is a jealous God. Even though He is slow to anger, His anger will come upon sinners. But He is a jealous God. He must revenge. And you know that revenge was taken by afflicting His Son. He became a sin for us who knew no sin. He became a curse for us who was so righteous. The Lord bought us from our bondage. We were slaves to sin and Satan. We had another master, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and He said, I will buy them. I will take them. Here is the price. The blood money is here. His life, His suffering, Himself coming into this world. His death. His price was the curse. The price He had to pay was that separation between Him and His Father. The price was actually being born and living amongst sinners. The price He paid was the hiding of His glory. His price that He paid was being rejected by people. The price He paid was being crucified. That we who are so unworthy, who are not worthy to sit at this table, to be made worthy in Him. So it is in this way we say, God is good. He is good in the way He saves us. But there are many people today who reject the Lord. They criticize Him. They criticize the believing people. And they say, how can you believe in such a God? One criticism that people have when we say, God is good, God is gracious, people say, well, if God is good, then why does He punish people? Why does He send people to hell? Why does He judge many to eternal punishment? Why are there all these horrible things happening? Why are there all these threatenings? How can there be a good God? What's the answer for that? Well, my friends, if He didn't punish sin, if He did not maintain justice, God couldn't be good. He couldn't be good. Whatever people may say, by way of criticism, in every good society, and I mean good society, in every good government, there must be justice. If in any country there is a ruler, there is a government, a leader who lets the laws of the land to be broken for people to do what they please without any consequence, without any penalty, then what would people say? Would that be a good government? Would that be a good leader? No. You must have heard this week about that sad story of that little girl being run over in that accident. That driver who hit her, ran over her with his car, and then he fled the scene. He didn't stop to care for this dying girl. That was 7 years ago. And then the judge gave him asylum. The judge gave him very few months in jail for all kinds of lame reasons. Do you think the father of that child, that girl, who when he saw her dying underneath that car, and when he heard the statement of the judge that this man can go and this is his penalty, do you think he thought that was a good judge? No, that is not justice. You see, justice, being just and doing the right thing, that is good. And God is good, even in His justice. Even in His punishing unrepentant sinners, He is good. He is good when He gives what sinners deserve. And He will bring everyone under His judgment. We all, the scripture, as we have seen, we all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, the scripture is true. He is good. The Lord, Jehovah, is good. So we can say that His goodness, no less than His greatness, is unsearchable. We cannot search out the goodness of God. In everything, He is good. Now, if you think about the other clause in this verse, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. That's my second thought here, that God is a stronghold for those in trouble. The Lord is good. That is very comforting. But also, here He is told He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. In Isaiah's prophecy, there is a record of the Assyrian army surrounding Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah had no way of escape. It was impossible for him to stand against this great army of the Assyrians. They were all going to die. And Isaiah came with the word of the Lord. The Lord sent a word of assurance, just a simple word, to Hezekiah that the Lord is with him. The Lord will see him through this difficulty, this impossibility, that He will protect him. And for Hezekiah, that was enough. That was enough. Hezekiah the king, he didn't mind anymore after that word from the Lord. He didn't mind anymore the threatenings of the Assyrian king and the army. The fact that they were so few and the Assyrian army was so great. Now he could rest, the scripture says, as if there were no enemies, as if there were no dangers, as if he wasn't besieged by his enemies. Why? Because of this. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. The day of trouble, what is that? What is the day of trouble? Well, in a sense, every day is a day of trouble. Every day is a day of trouble. When sin entered, when it came, that sin came into the world, when each of us are infected with that great and deadly disease, when that disease of sin is still within us and lurking within us, and it comes up on the surface, that's a day of trouble, when sin comes out. The scripture says man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upwards. So many people are troubled in themselves. So many people have troubled souls. It doesn't matter what they have, what possessions they have, what level they are in society or education-wise. If you only knew what goes on in people's hearts, then we would realize what trouble there is in people's souls. But as God brought about that protection of the cloud for the Israelites in the wilderness, so God has brought about a protection, a place of safety. He has brought about a covering for our troubled souls. And here is the promise to God's people. In the midst of all these judgments, He says He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Do not let your hearts be troubled, the Lord said. Our troubles begin with sin. And God, as I have said, God has sent His Son to be our God and our protector, our shield, to save us. And to be for us someone who to believe in. As we believe Him, He becomes our security and surety. He's a real help in our troubles. Whatever your problems may be, it says a stronghold in the day of trouble. That's who He is to you. If you trust Him, if you believe Him, whatever your case may be, He knows about it. He sees you, what it is about. And He can help you in all of your troubles. He can guide you in all of your troubles, because it says the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He sees us in our distresses, and we find refuge. In the days of a storm, we find refuge. He is a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the evil things around us, it comes against us, the scripture says in Isaiah, he says, he is a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. My friends, is your soul, has it ever been troubled about your sin? Is it under a heavy load, a heavy burden? Because you know that the answer to the issues is you have to answer before the holy God and this God who is jealous. Have you ever felt that kind of a burden? You have to give an answer before a judge. Then this is the word for you this morning. The Lord is a God that you can take refuge in. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. If you're troubled, He can take you in. It is then that the Lord Jesus says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is like a country. Well, Britain is trying to close its doors to all kinds of people, but the Lord is like a country. Day or night, the borders are open. Day or night, the gates are open. Anyone could come. And when they come, they can't get out. They will not be deported. They will not be sent away, because He says, "I will never cast them out." Anyone who seeks Him, you won't be cast out, because the Lord is our refuge. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He receives everyone who are under this burden of sin. He will save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. So here is the second thing. But finally, it says, "And He knoweth them that trust in Him." He knoweth them that trust in Him. Basically, God knows His people. God knows His own people. He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knows His own people. Those who have trusted Him, those who have come to the Lord for salvation, those whose sins are forgiven, those who are now refugees in Jesus Christ, they are the ones that He knows. That doesn't mean that he can simply tell the difference between them and other people. It doesn't mean that. But He knows everything about them. That's what it means. He knows everything about them. He knows all the things that goes on in their lives. And part of this knowing is that His heart goes out to them. His affection, His feelings goes out to them. He knows them and He feels for them. He loves them. He knows all that they feel and experience. This is the way He knows them. He sympathizes with them. And if you're a child of God, this is what He's meaning here. He sympathizes with you. With all His compassion. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ abounds on you. And so it is that we ought to remember the Lord in this way when you come to the table. You remember God who knows you. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's what the Bible says. That the Lord Jesus is afflicted in all our afflictions. Listen to what He says to that insensitive Moses in the backside of the desert. He says in Exodus 3 and 7, He says, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." The same word. for I know their sorrows. He sees, he has heard, he knows. And his heart goes out to them. So if you are a child of God this morning, you are going to sit at the table. He knows what's going on in your life. David said, when my spirit was overwhelmed, thou knewest my path. When my spirit was overwhelmed, thou knewest my path. Is he your God, my friends? Is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Is this your God that you are living for? To you who are trusting in the Lord, whatever enemies and whatever difficulties are attacking you, God will keep your soul in perfect peace as your mind is stayed on Him. That's the promises here. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Take that, my friend, and meditate on it every day of this week. Think about it, consider. And now, as I conclude, I have two things to say. One is this. All of us must come to know this Lord. All of us must come to know this God. We must listen and we must read and we must study and we must pray and ask Him, Lord, show Thyself to me. I want to know Thee, O Lord. We must know Him, friends. He knows us. But don't you want to know Him? See that He is a just God. See that the Lord is also a Savior. See that His justice and His mercy, they meet together as Jesus Christ died for us. The only Son of God died for sinners to pay the debt of sinners. At one point, we view Him. And now we remember His dying love to us on the cross. And then we view Him as He rose for us. And then He ascended for us. And then He is now ruling for us. All of these things. This is the God. The Lord is good. But also we must give glory to Him. We must know Him. Come and know Him. But give glory to Him as well. Give glory to Him as you live in His creation. You see, the scripture says the whole creation gives glory to God. Then give glory to Him. Give Him glory by loving Him. Give Him glory by serving Him. By trusting in Him. By being happy in Him. Is He good to you? Then praise Him for His goodness. Is He a stronghold for you? Do you really believe this text? Then run to Him. Flee to Him. Live always in Him. Don't live outside of Him. Do not be unequally yoked together with others. But be yoked with Jesus Christ, which will be an equal yoke. Is it true that He knows them that trust in Him? Is it true? Then be content. Be content. Because the Lord knows you. Be content, be comforted that He knows your case. He's not like someone who is sleeping. You remember again Elijah when the priests were cutting themselves on the top of the mount. And he says, where is your God? Maybe He's gone somewhere. Maybe He's chasing someone. Maybe He's sleeping. That is not our God. He knoweth His people. Be comforted by that. Only live for the Lord. He will see you through your difficulties and your life. Through thick and thin, the Lord is with us. And so glorify Him. These are God's promises to us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When God passed by Moses, he proclaimed in Exodus 34. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So the Lord is good. The Lord is good. In the midst of judgment, He remembers mercy. While He sends out warning and curses and His wrath on the wicked, there is here for us a word, a promise of mercy. No one that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be alarmed. You don't need to be anxious at these words and threats. God sees them on the day of judgment. He will see us through that day because He knoweth them that trust in Him. We come now to the Lord's table to remember a Savior who is good. We come to the table to remember a Savior who is a stronghold in our day of trouble. We come to a Savior who knows us. That's the way you ought to approach Him. That's the way you ought to prepare your hearts now this morning. With that humility, the Lord could give us something far worse. He could give us what we deserve according to our sins. But He has brought us to His table. How wonderful that is. Approach Him with that humility then. And love Him as you take part. Amen.